All right, open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. If you've been looking forward to some heat, I heard that this week you're going to get that. But you know, you never can tell. Who knows, okay? But I heard it's supposed to be, I even saw triple digits. So going to get kind of warm. Matthew chapter 3, look if you would, starting in verse 11. John is speaking here. John the Baptist is speaking. And he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I," he says, "whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, this morning, we're going to continue to look at the subject of baptism. Like we said before, there are a lot of Christians today who do not fully understand the subject of baptism. Some think that a person can be baptized with a sprinkling of water. In fact, a lot of different churches today, they will, you know, you'll bring people in and there's water sprinkling, and some of them they'll do what they call christening the child, sprinkling the head on the child. And really, I didn't get in too much on the false doctrine of baptizing babies. Okay, you say, what does baptizing babies do? It makes their head wet. Okay, that's it. It does nothing more than that. And so there are a lot of people today who don't understand fully what baptism is. Some people think, like I said, they think you need to be sprinkled, but the Bible's clear that every time somebody was baptized, they were placed fully immersed into something, fully immersed. Okay. But a lot of people today think that you could be baptized with sprinkling. Another thing that people often think when they see the word baptism is they think that the word baptism always refers to water baptism. They see the word baptism in the Bible and immediately they say, got to be water. Well, we've already learned that there is more baptisms than water baptism. In fact, the last 2 weeks we learned that there is like two or three different baptisms that are not water baptism. We learned, we learned about Holy Spirit baptism. That was the first one we looked at, and we looked over there in Ephesians chapter 4 where it says there's one Lord, one God, one baptism, one Spirit. And we learned about that. That's the Holy Spirit baptism. You say, what is the Holy Spirit baptism? That's what happened to you the moment you were saved. You were baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. You were baptized. You say, where is that at? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14 says this. It says, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't want to just read it to you. You may as well see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You were baptized into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Remember, over in Ephesians chapter 1, it says there's one Spirit, one baptism, one body, one Lord, one God. Okay? We're baptized into one body. Which body is that? That is the literal body of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because he said, "You are of my flesh and of my bones." So we're placed in him. The Bible says we're seated up in heavenly places right now. Why? Because we're in him. Spiritually, we are in him. Okay? So how do we get there? How did we get there the moment we got saved? For as the body is one, hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, capital S, that would be the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, capital S. For the body is not one member, but many. That body is talking about the body of Jesus Christ. And how do we get into Christ? We were baptized into Christ. Now you say, well, what's the significance of that? Because we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. You got to be in Christ. Amen? If you're not in Christ, you ain't going up. It's either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, how did you get there? By the Holy Spirit of God baptizing you into his body. And so if you're in Christ this morning, that rapture happens, up you go. Amen? And then if you're in the dead in Christ will rise first. Those of us who are alive and remain, we'll go up and meet the Lord. It's very, very important. And so this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's mentioned actually in our opening verses. There in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, notice it says, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And so that's talking about the Holy Spirit baptism, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Also notice that John the Baptist also says at the end of verse 11 here, he says, and with fire, and with fire. Remember last week we talked about the baptism with fire. And that's what he talks about that. And you say, well, what's that? Well, there's a day coming, and we looked at last week when the great white throne of judgment takes place. There's a day coming where Jesus will fully immerse people into the lake of fire. And there they'll be forever, and the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever. Okay, one of these days. Now, that's found over in Revelation chapter 20 of the great white throne of judgment. And that's where everybody that has never been saved is going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. And they're going to answer for their works. And then it says the books will be opened. You say, what books are those? Probably the 66 books of the Bible. It never says that, but probably that's what it is. And then it says that the book of life will be opened. And if their names are not found in the book of life, they will be into the lake of fire. And so that's what it's talking about there when he says that he shall baptize you with fire. How do we know that? Because back in Matthew chapter 3, look what it says in verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand. And that his is talking about Jesus Christ. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Every time in the scriptures that you see the phrase unquenchable fire, it is always talking about the lake of fire. Okay? It's talking about the lake of fire. It's talking about hell. All right? And so that's what it's talking about when it says that we'll baptize them with fire. And so there are two baptisms thus far that we learn where water is not involved. And that's Holy Spirit baptism and baptism with fire. No water involved in either one of those. Okay? Now, another thing that many Christians think when they see the word baptism is they think that it's always referring to the water baptism that we are baptized with today, okay? But we learned last week that John the Baptist came baptizing, and he did use water, and that's baptism of John the Baptist. He came baptizing using water, and he did take people in the water, and they came out of the water, because when Jesus came and said, I have need to be baptized of you, to John the Baptist, it says he went in the water, and then he came out of the water. There wasn't any of this sprinkling stuff. He went in the water, came out of the water. Every time that you see somebody being baptized in the scripture in water, they always go in the water, out of the water. Again, baptism is being fully immersed into something. You are fully in Jesus Christ today. You're not halfway out. Okay, you're fully in him today. Those people that are thrown in the lake of fire, they will be fully in the lake of fire. And so that's what baptism is. John the Baptist, he came baptizing, but we learned last week that when he came baptizing, because he was an Old Testament saint, and when John the Baptist baptized people, it was for one reason, and that is to manifest Christ to Israel. It was to, back over in Isaiah chapter 6, that Israel was blinded. In fact, the Bible says they're still blinded to this day when it comes to the Old Testament. So they're blinded, and the only way that blindness can be removed during the time of John the Baptist, he said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, saying that the king is ready to set up his kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, repent, get down in the water. And if they did that, if they repent, got down in the water, and were baptized, when they came back out, you know what they would do? They would see Jesus Christ in there and know that he was the Christ. He would be made manifest to them. Here's the problem. They didn't do it. I mean, very few people did it. The whole nation of Israel didn't do it. And that's the reason why John the Baptist was so hard on the Pharisees. If you remember, John the Baptist would look at the Pharisees and he would call them, he'd say, "You vipers," and you know, and "You won't get down in the water," and all these different things, because they were the religious leaders and they could have gotten the nation of Israel to come down in the water if they had gotten down in the water, but they wouldn't do it. And so that was John the Baptist's baptism. Then we also learned about the baptism of the children of Israel in the wilderness. The Bible tells us that when God parted the Red Sea, children of Israel crossed the Red Sea between those two walls of water, and God called that a baptism. He calls that a baptism in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So if you can picture those 2.5 million Jews walking there as God parted the Red Sea, as they're walking across, you got a big wall of water on one side, big wall of water on the other side, and you got the cloud in front of them. When they're going through there, they were under that water. They were, it was dry, but they were going through the water. They were in it. And so you have the baptism of the children of Israel in the wilderness there. Now, we're going to continue to look this morning at the different baptisms that the Bible speaks of. And we're going to start this morning by looking at what the Bible calls the baptism of suffering. The baptism of suffering. Now, turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Look, if you would, starting at verse 21. Jesus is talking and he says, "And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these two my sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am to be baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." Now, we could preach on that passage right there forever, because there's just a lot of stuff in that. But I want you to notice here that these disciples had already been baptized by John the Baptist. And so it's not talking about John the Baptist's baptism here. When Jesus talks about the baptism that I'm be baptized with, he's not talking about John the Baptist's baptism, even though these disciples had already been baptized by John the Baptist. Okay? Instead, this baptism is a baptism of suffering. And this is another case in the Bible where there is no water used in this baptism. You don't see any water mentioned anywhere in Matthew chapter 20, okay? You say, well, then what's it talking about here? It's talking about being immersed into suffering. And this baptism could not have anything to do with water, because remember when Jesus was suffering on the cross, he said this, he said, "I thirst." Did they bring him water? No, they didn't. They didn't bring him any water. And so this baptism, the baptism here is a baptism of suffering. It has nothing to do with water. And Jesus here is talking about when he's talking about the baptism of suffering, this is why Jesus looks over at James and John and says, he says this, he says, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Again, they had already been baptized in water, so Jesus already been baptized in water, so can't be that. So Jesus is not talking about water. And then he says this, "Are ye able to drink of the cup and drink and that I shall drink, and to be baptized with the baptism I shall be baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." So obviously they don't have any idea what he's talking about. But what does Jesus say? He says, he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." You say, why did he say that? Because Jesus is saying this, I am going to be immersed into suffering, and I'm going to suffer greatly. And then he looks and says, your two sons, they will too. And they did. They suffered great persecution. In fact, if you read over in Acts chapter 12, you'll find that James had his head cut off in Acts chapter 12. And John suffered on the Isle of Patmos. So you know what happened? They were baptized with the baptism that Jesus was baptized with, the baptism of suffering. Now, probably the reason that this suffering is called baptism by Jesus is because many times in the Bible, suffering is likened unto water. Turn, if you would, over to Psalm chapter 69. Psalm chapter 69. I got to quit saying Psalm chapter. It's not a chapter. It's just a psalm. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Now, here he's being, it sounds like he's being immersed in deep waters. But what really are these waters? Look at verse 3. He says, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. They that would destroy me being mine enemies." He's talking about suffering here, and the suffering is likened unto deep waters. That's why the Lord asked James and John, he said, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" You say, what cup was he drinking of? He was drinking of the wrath of God. And then he was baptism was suffering. And so he's talking about here the baptism of suffering. It is not a water baptism. It is not a Holy Spirit baptism. It is the baptism of suffering. And that's exactly what he faced. That is our next baptism. Then after that, we also have what's called the baptism of Peter. Turn if you would over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now this is one of the subjects that we studied extensively in the pastor's class as well, because Acts chapter 2 is probably the most misused scripture in all the Bible today, okay? And I'm going to show you why. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, look if you would at verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Let me ask you something. If I got up here today and I said, "Now listen, in order to be saved, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and you've got to be baptized for the remission of sins," would that be correct doctrine? No, it would not. You know how many churches today use Acts 2:38 as a salvation passage? Most do. Most churches today will use Acts 2:38 as a way to be saved. But I want to show you something. Look at this. Look at the verse before it in Acts chapter 2:37 and ask yourself, did anybody ever ask how to be saved in Acts 2:37? No. No, they never asked how to be saved. If in fact, people, when they teach this thing, when they teach that you got to be baptized in order to be saved. Now you use Acts 2:38 here. If you look back at verse 37, what do they ask there at the end of verse 37? It says, "And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren," it says verse 37. "Now when they had heard this, they were pricked at the heart." In other words, they heard everything that Peter preached, "and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" They never asked, "What shall we do to be saved?" They said, "What shall we do?" Peter had just preached to them that they killed their Messiah. He just preached to them and said, "Hey, listen, you know, he was the Christ that was supposed to come, and you're responsible for putting him on the cross." And these men of Israel, that's who he's talking to, Israel, and these men of Israel said, "My goodness, what should we do?" And you know what Peter said? He said, "Repent, get in the water for the remission of sins and for the gift of the Holy Ghost." Does that sound familiar? Does it sound a little bit like John the Baptist's baptism a little bit? You know why that is? Is because well, we're going to see here in a minute that God gave Israel another chance, okay? And so this has nothing to do with salvation. And it has nothing to do with about how to be saved from hell today. They never asked how to be saved. And if they never asked how to be saved, why are people using this verse to try to teach us how to be saved? If that's a way to be saved, and nobody ever asked how to be saved in that passage. All right? Something else, too. You say, well, then, if they were saved, what were they saved from? Look at verse 40. It says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Salvation from hell is found nowhere in this chapter at all. This is talking about being saved from the generation that crucified Christ. But as far as the baptism here, it was not to manifest Christ to Israel like John the Baptist's baptism was. It was a baptism that was offered to Israel if they would get baptized now, then they would have another chance for Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross there and he prayed over in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and here's what he said. He's hanging on the cross, and the Son of God said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you realize what God did? He answered his son's prayer. He answered Jesus Christ's prayer. He forgave them. How do we know that? Because after Jesus Christ dies on the cross and after he gets resurrected, here's Peter preaching over here in Acts chapter 2, and he's saying, you killed your Messiah. And he's not talking to Gentiles here. He's talking to Jews. He's talking to ye men of Israel. And he's saying, you killed your Messiah. And they said, well, what must we do? He said, repent, be baptized for remission of sins, and then you'll get the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what he's saying is this, if you will get down in the water right now, you're getting a second chance. If you'll get down to water and repent right now, your king will still set up his kingdom. He'll do it even now. Why? Because he forgave them. When they put Jesus Christ on the cross, it isn't like God's like, okay, I'm done with Israel. No, wait a second. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God says, okay, I'm going to forgive them. They're going to have another chance. And then all of a sudden, here comes Peter preaching this baptism. Hey, listen, the baptism of Peter is not the baptism we preach today. There is no remission of sins when I preach the baptism today. It has nothing to do with washing away your sins today. But it did with Peter's because it was about the nation of Israel. And if they had repented and got down to water, Jesus Christ would have set up his kingdom right then and there. They had another chance. And they continued to have another chance all the way up until the preaching of Stephen over in Acts chapter 7. How many remember the preaching of Stephen over in Acts chapter 7? They still had a chance. Now, when we get over to Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching. And he says in Acts chapter 7, it says, and they cried. Now, this is after he gets done preaching. It says, they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Stephen with one accord and cast him in the city and stoned him. You know what Stephen was preaching? The exact same thing that Peter was preaching. He was saying, you killed your Messiah. You persecuted the prophets that prophesied of the coming Messiah. You did all these different things. And rather than repenting, they rushed at Peter and they stoned Peter. In fact, they're even accused of Stephen, or not, they rushed Stephen and they stoned Stephen. And not only that, but Stephen even accused them of resisting the Holy Ghost. And so when they cried out and they stoned Stephen, at that point, the opportunity for Israel to repent as a nation was then gone. As a nation, it was gone. And from that point on, any individual, whether Jew or Gentile, could be saved from their sins. It was not just about the nation of Israel. How do we know that? Well, there's a couple ways. Remember there, right after Stephen got done preaching and they rushed at him and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they said they shut their ears. I can just imagine him going, la, 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 I don't want to hear it anymore. And so they were so upset about what he was preaching. They rushed him. They stoned him. And then, you know who was sitting there? They took their coats and everything. They laid it at somebody's feet standing there. You know who that was? That was Saul, the one that was persecuting the church. Do you remember who, after Saul was saved, do you remember who he was sent to preach to? The Gentiles. And you say, well, is that just a coincidence? No, there are no coincidences in the Bible. When they took the clothes and laid it at him, that's showing him that now it was Saul's turn. I'll tell you another reason that we know. I'll try to write it small over here, but if you go over to Acts chapter 8, now remember, Stephen gets stoned in Acts chapter 7, right? And he dies at the end of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 8, somebody gets saved there. You know who it is? The Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch gets saved in Acts chapter 8. Then, Acts chapter 9, you know who gets saved in Acts chapter 9? Saul does. So you get Paul. He gets saved in Acts chapter 9. Then Acts chapter 10 happens. You know who gets saved in Acts chapter 10? The centurion does. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Don't you see what you're seeing? After they stoned Stephen, the nation of Israel, after they stoned Stephen, and they laid their coats there at Saul's feet, who would get saved and be Paul, the very next chapter you had the Ethiopian eunuch get saved. Chapter after that, you get Paul get saved. After that, you get centurion got saved. You know what you're looking at? Ham, Shem, Japheth. That's everybody in the entire world. That represents everybody in the entire world. And that was the people who got saved after they stoned Stephen. You had the Ethiopian eunuch, Ham. Paul, Shem. Centurion, Japheth. And that's showing you that salvation was opened up to the entire world at that point. After the Lord was done working with Israel, it was opened up to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But there, from Acts chapter 1 all the way to Acts chapter 7, he was still working with the nation of Israel. They still had the opportunity to repent and have the kingdom be set up. And so you have Peter's baptism there. And that was a second chance for the nation of Israel. And then we come to our final baptism mentioned this morning. And that's the one that we are baptized with. And that is believer's baptism today. Believer's baptism today. Baptism of believers in this age. I'm just going to tell you, if you have been saved and you have never been baptized, you need to be baptized. Okay? Why? Because that is something that the Bible makes very clear that we are to do. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 18. It says, "For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." We're talking about death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Now, I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people try to use that right there and saying, see, you got to be baptized you got to be baptized in water in order to be saved. See, they were saved by water. Question. Think back to the time of Noah. Everybody who was in the boat was saved, amen? What happened to those that were in the water? They died. So if somebody says, well, see right there, you're saved by water, I don't want to be saved by water the way they were. Amen? But why the people that were, listen, when it's talking about here, you say, what's it talking about? Well, you got to keep on reading. Remember, context is everything. Look at verse 21. The like figure. You remember, I told you before that the two most important words in your Bible are like and as, because it's a similitude. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's like something. the like figure whereunto even baptism also doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this is talking about the baptism that we're supposed to be baptized with. In other words, the moment that you're saved, you are to be baptized. And this, you say, well, what's this baptism have to do with? Well, the real thing that saved you is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, not being put in water. That's what saves you. That's a gospel by which you're saved, according to 1 Corinthians 4 or 1 Corinthians 15. But this baptism here is a public testimony of the new Christian's identification with Christ. That's the reason we get baptized. In other words, when you get baptized, you're showing your allegiance to Christ publicly. That's what you're doing. In other words, when you got saved, you were saved immediately, but then you publicly associate yourself with Christ by getting into the water and being baptized like he told us to do. And when you do that, when you get into the water, then you're showing his death, his burial, and resurrection when you get down in that water. That's the reason why you have me as a pastor. If you're being baptized, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, are you saved? Because in every instance in the New Testament, in this age, when somebody got saved, they had to believe first. You go to Ethiopian eunuch, he believed first. You go to centurion, he believed first. Everybody mentioned they all got in the water, came out of the water, and they all had to believe first. So if a person gets baptized today, they say, okay, Pastor, I want to be baptized tonight. I'm going to take you back there and fill up the horse trough. And you get to be, oh, by the way, it's a new one, so it ain't the filthy water we had before, okay? But it puts you in a horse trough, and I actually get water out of the hot water heater, so it's semi-warm, you know. But when you're in there, first thing I'm going to say is, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if your answer is not yes, then I'm not baptizing you. Well, you got to be saved first. But then, when you say yes, then you are showing exactly what happened to you and what Christ did for you. You're associating yourself with Christ when I baptize you. So when I take you down, I'll say buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, it's not his death, and it's not his resurrection, but it's like that. It's a picture. Amen? Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You're showing what Jesus Christ did for you. You're also showing what happened to you the moment you were saved. Why? You were buried. You were buried into his death, Romans chapter 6, and you're raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what happened to you. It's not the baptism that's going to make you walk in the newness of life. The fact that you were saved is going to make you walk in the newness of life. But you're showing that in baptism. That's what baptism is today. And here's the thing. You say, well, why are we to do it? Well, I hate to be blunt about it, but it's because Jesus said so. Amen? He said, listen, he said, go out and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, he didn't suggest it. It's a command. It's an ordinance of the church. Every believer, if you have received Jesus Christ, you are commanded to be baptized. And it is the first order of obedience. You say, well, I've heard that before, but what does that mean? Well, listen, if the first thing you're supposed to do is get baptized after you get saved, that's the reason it's called the first order of obedience. Do you realize that you're supposed to be baptized before you start doing anything else? Before you start serving the Lord? How do we know that? Because that's even a picture of what Jesus Christ, do you remember Jesus Christ, the first thing he did before he started his service, you know what it was? He got baptized by John the Baptist. That's before he ever started doing anything. He got baptized first. So you see him as our great example. The first thing we should do is a person should be baptized. Now, I'm just going to tell you that if I thought that being baptized would make everybody else get baptized, I'd get baptized every week. I would. Why? Because it's just, you know, just to get you to be baptized. The truth of the matter is this. If you have never been baptized, then you're not obedient to the Lord. And if you won't do the very first thing that he says to do after you get saved, what makes you think that you're going to obey him and everything else? Amen? That's what the believer's baptism is today. It is the first act of obedience, and there's a problem obeying the scriptures if you can't even do the first act of obedience. Now, this is not the same baptism as the baptism of John the Baptist. Again, people like to put them all in. Well, if it's baptism, it's water baptism. And if it's water baptism, John the Baptist is the same. Peter's the same. You know, believers' baptism today is the same. No, they're not. I'll prove it to you. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. Not the same thing. Believers' baptism today is not like Peter's baptism. If I got up today and I said, repent for the remission of sins and get down in the water, that's not the same. It has nothing to do with remission of sins. It's not the same thing as John the Baptist's baptism either. Acts chapter 19. Look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now stop right there. That tells you that if you don't read any further right now, remember we talked about John the Baptist's baptism, and that's manifesting Christ to Israel. But when Peter baptized here, what did he say? He says, repent and be baptized for remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said here. Well, these men here said, well, we didn't even hear there would be a Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? I'm pointing the wrong one, Peter. They said, we didn't even hear that there be any Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? They never got baptized by Peter then, did he? Then who were they baptized by? How do we know that? Keep on reading. He said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what did you just read there? You just read about men who were already baptized by John the Baptist. You know what Paul did? He rebaptized them. Why? We're not in the Old Testament anymore. Has nothing to do about manifesting Christ to Israel. Listen, by the time you get to Acts chapter 19, those people are saved the same way you and I are saved. Same way. The baptism means the same thing that it means today. So you know what John the Baptist did? Or you know what Paul did? He baptized them again. They got believers' baptism in this age. You know what that proves? That proves it's not the same baptism. If it were the same baptism, he would have never rebaptized them. Amen? Not the same baptism as John the Baptist. And so when people today, they say, well, you know, there's only one baptism in the Bible, and that's water baptism that we have today. No, that's not true. There are seven of them. And not all of them include water. Some of them include fire. One of them is a spiritual baptism into the body of Christ. One of them is the baptism of suffering. One of them nobody could ever do except for the children of Israel. And that's when they got led through the Red Sea, unless I missed something somewhere and somebody else went through the Red Sea. Amen? Seven different baptisms. And when you read about these baptisms, you got to make sure that you rightly divide and figure out which baptism it's talking about. Don't be like everybody else and say, well, listen, if it's baptism, it has to be water. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It all depends. Amen? All right, let's stop there.